Our scripture lesson tonight comes from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Unite them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beginning of Matthew 21 is an interesting text. It is, of course, the text that we get that marks Palm Sunday. And from this story, we get the King of Kings, Jesus, coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. The most humble way for someone to enter into a place. You know, if you think of militaries and you think of great ways to enter into a city to proclaim your presence in the place, you think of a grand Arabian horse or some other thing, but Jesus came humbly into this space. And if you think about this, for a person of power that Jesus was proclaiming himself to be, to humble yourself to ride on a donkey would have been horrifying to someone of great power that was in the land at that time. And it would have been easy, honestly, for Jesus to ride in onto a horse and ride in showing his power, but he chose not to. And it would have been easy to have a coat of armor on showing how strong he was, but he came with a colt in tow on the donkey. And it would have been really easy for his disciples to spread gifts to the community and say, "Come and praise Jesus who is coming down the road." But yet they took their outer garments, they laid them on the road, and they cut tree branches to show that their king was coming into this place. If you think about this story, Jesus didn't do things to become popular, but he did inspire other people to be loving to their neighbors and to show humility through his example. Amen. Jesus wasn't in this for the popularity. He was in this to proclaim his purpose in the world. He wasn't in the market of being popular, but he did want people to listen to him. And everywhere he went, Jesus made people angry. He challenged the authorities and constantly questioned the status quo. If you think about it, Jesus did everything in his power to be the least popular person in the world. So our question tonight, as we are gathered here, how can we become like Christ in this manner? If we think about Christianity as a whole, we have to understand that Christianity is not a popularity contest. We, as the local churches in this area, should not be in the business of trying to be the most popular gathering of believers. Amen. Instead, we should be proclaiming the good news of the gospel, finding ways to build relationships so that we can discern our calling in the world, and we should be a community that looks to God for where God is already at work in this world, and prayerfully continue the work of the Holy Spirit in this place. If you think about it, American Christians have it easy. We are the dominant religion in our country, and we practice our faith without fear of what might happen to us simply because we are Christian. From the early 1800s to the 1960s, we saw a large peak in church affiliation, and we rode the wave of popularity for quite some time. Where we find problems in our society is when church became so popular that our local congregations started to become social clubs with a side of spirituality. Instead of looking at our gatherings like this, we need to understand that we are places of worship, places where we can gather to learn about being disciples of Christ and find where we can further spread the mission and work of God in the world. And through a sense of belonging, we gather as a community, and we call that church. I think that there needs to be a reformation in the church because we've lost this identity. Amen. A lot of times we put our energy into structures and what we look like in the popular sense, and we lose this sense of belonging to one another in the name of Christ. You know, every 500 years, give or take a century or two, there are big changes in Christianity. And with the most recent one of these being the Reformation 500 years ago, almost to just a few months afterwards. And with the decline in the church and the fact that there is no one winner in this popularity contest, American Christians have to reassess what it means to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus. I struggle with this idea of how we gather in American society as the church. For far too long, we have been places that inhibit this idea of being a contest of popularity. And I struggle with this idea as we reach into our communities and try to spread the gospel of Jesus, how we come forward to our neighbors and express ourselves as the church. You know, if you think about our model of ministry, for most of all of our ministries here, we usually have a pastor and a building and regular services. For a lot of people in this world, that model of ministry doesn't work. And one of the things we have to do, a part of this new revolution that is probably taking place in Christianity, is we have to rethink how we gather as community. When Jesus was doing his revolutionary ministry some 2,000 years ago, he never affirmed the status quo, but instead he constantly challenged the way things were being done. Also, Jesus was constantly moving from place to place and he was never comfortable, and it was never easy for him. Sometimes proclaiming the gospel in our society should neither be comfortable or easy. Amen. This includes challenging political systems and traditional understandings of the way in which we live our lives. I often wonder if we've gotten ourselves into a rut where it's too hard to reimagine our churches and our communities. I say this because our existence isn't challenged by our culture, and we have become lazy in our discipleship. And I say that for myself as well. And sometimes I ask, where are the places in this world where we need to reach out to? And I think one of the best examples of this is when Pope Francis first became Pope in his first sermon. he talked about popularity, and he said that he asked the question, who are the least popular people in the world? And he pointed to the text in Matthew 25 when he talked about the sick, the oppressed, the people in prison. These are the people that need our prayers and our ministry the most. And the way we use ourselves and the way we discern our place in the world should be going out into proclaiming the gospel to these people. And we know that this isn't a great way to do ministry. It's not the most attractive way. It definitely is not going to earn you any popularity points. But that's the people that Christ is calling us to serve. Recently, a few days ago, I just came back from a trip to Egypt. Egypt is quite an interesting place in the world because Christianity only serves 10% of the population there. With 90% Muslims controlling the country, there's a lot of oppression that the Christian church feels by the government and just the culture itself of Islam. Now, there are daily pressures for the church to exist in this place. And their existence is constantly being questioned. Churches are being torn down. People are being abused and even killed at times. And their presence in their community is always being questioned. But one of the things remains is their faith and their witness to the gospel, and they continue to proclaim the name of Jesus in this land. Now I say this because we have a question to ask for ourselves. How are we being faithful in our witness to the gospel? We don't have the sense of oppression that the Egyptian Christians constantly have on their lives. And we oftentimes ride this wave of being the popular religion in America and riding this wave of Christianity that has been in this land for quite some time. And sometimes what we have to do is take a step back and ask ourselves what matters the most to us and how we relate to our neighbors and how we reach out to those that Jesus is calling us to reach out to. We look at this from a perspective of popularity, and we look at the way Jesus did ministry and the way we look at ourselves and we do ministry. And if we are constantly doing things by status quo and not questioning what we are doing in our communities, I think that Jesus is going to be in the back of our minds pushing us to take that next step, to go just a little bit further. Now that gets into very scary areas for us because we're no longer comfortable and it's not easy for us anymore to be Christians. But I think if we lose this idea of being popular amongst our communities and we take on this identity of being faithful followers of the gospel, we can then see Christ working in this world. And I think if we leave the popularity contest behind and we take on the yoke of Christ and to be the people, the hands and feet of Christ working in this world, we will see the glimpse of heaven here on earth and seeing the people serve that Christ calls us to serve. You know, one of my favorite things to call Christians is righteous troublemakers. Now, sometimes it causes us to push certain buttons in society. Sometimes it takes for us to question the status quo. And sometimes it takes for us to cause a little trouble, even on the hint of making people mad, just so that we can constantly be on this edge where Christ is pushing us to look into the world and to find places where God has called us. This is tricky work because it asks us to reassess everything that we've built ourselves on. And I think it's important for us to go that way Because if we don't, I think we're missing out on a large part of what Christ is calling us to do. It's easy to be a Christian in America, but think about in other places of the world where people are fighting for their lives just because they're Christians. We can take in just an ounce of their faith and apply it to our ministries and our community. Maybe we can make a bigger impact and see Christ working in this world through the work of the church. I take a lot of encouragement from this idea that Christ came humbly into our world. And even when he came for the last time into Jerusalem and he was going to go into the temples and turn over the tables of the money changers, that he was causing righteous trouble in this land. I find encouragement from this idea because he did this all with humility and with the peace of mind of knowing that this was his purpose. And this was leading him to this idea of that God had called him to be his son and called him into this world to pay for our sins. And as we as the church living in this place here today, let us find this encouragement so that we can go humbly into our communities, being the righteous troublemakers that God's called us to be. Amen.
Praise God for his word. I've been called a troublemaker. Well, tell you what, how about we open our hymnals one last time? Unless you want to turn it into a midnight hymn sing, we can stick around and sing some more hymns. But if you want to go, we got refreshments downstairs. There's coffee. I understand it's hot. And I think it's decaf, though, so it won't keep you up. And then we also have a variety of treats. So y'all are welcome to stick around and have some of that. But in the meantime, let's open our hymnals to number 309. And if you can stand, please stand as we sing Beneath the Cross of Jesus, number 309.